good morning.
Good morning.
It's supposed to be 70 degrees today.
Yeah, right.
Isn't that good? Laura says she hopes she knows what they know what they're talking about. Well, glad to see all of you this morning. I'm teaching the class because Ron, you know, Ron had surgery on Thursday, and what he did was he had never had surgery before, ever. So Ron was under the assumption he was going to be teaching class this morning, you know. And yesterday, being like the second or third day after surgery, he called me about noon and he said, "I ain't gonna be able to do this." And I said, "Okay, well, so if you get the idea I'm a little unprepared this morning, you'd be right." He told me to pick up with the section that I had left off last time and had not had time to finish. So I'm a little bit... I don't know exactly the direction Ron's going, and I'm trying to think about where we've been and trying to think about what to say so I don't step on where he's going, and I have no clue. I'm a little bit short on knowledge here, so if I say anything that he's going to talk about later when he gets to it and ask if you ever heard that, just say, "Never heard it."
I ain't lying for you.
Okay, they're with Barbara, is that right? And Sam, is that right? From Dewey, Oklahoma. Here, good friends of Glenn Davis and Mary, both.
Have you got any bread yet?
No.
Going to make an introduction. Welcome. Glad to have you with us. Am I missing any others? Let me see. Well, it's good to have the Adams with us, Dave and Carolyn. Okay. Good. So, here's what I'm going to do this morning. I think I'm going to challenge the hound dog out of us on a few things. And I'm going to tell you right up front, I don't have all the answers. Is that okay? The discussion is the Holy Spirit, which is a... Dave, would you like to teach class, brother? I'll give it to you. Dave just started laughing, yeah. Pretty difficult subject. Let's see, where was I going to go with that? I started laughing too. The first question that I wanted to ask you was, I want to ask you what you have learned so far this quarter about the Holy Spirit. And we've got plenty of material to go into. This isn't like a time delay thing, but I want to know what are you not sure about? What has come up? Is there any uncertainties? Any oh yeahs? Or have you got it totally figured out? He says no on that one.
No, yeah, I don't have it totally figured out, but it's amazing how often the Spirit is mentioned where I've overlooked it before, where it talks about the Spirit working in these guys, people's life. I just read the other night where it talks about the Spirit was working in this person's life, and I guess I had overlooked that before. I hadn't really focused in how the Spirit was working in these people's lives as often as it was.
Dave said it's amazing to him how many times the Spirit gets mentioned throughout the text, and I'm like, yeah, well, I hope you picked that up too. Lots of times, Lynnell.
I think a lot of times I read the Spirit and translate it to God. God's working. So I don't think of anything separate.
I do that quite often myself.
I thought the discussion that we had on the Trinity was very, very interesting because there's a lot of different views of that, and people make it into quite a doctrine, and I am quite sure that none of us really understand. But it's a very good discussion about the relationship between God the Son, God, and God the Son, God.
Ben says, very good discussion on the Trinity. And he said, and it's interesting, he said, you know, I also think we still understand that. Sign me up for that club.
Oh, can I respond to that?
Yep.
I've had some discussions about that class that we had with some of the members. And some people have, I got to phrase this correctly. There might be a misunderstanding that Ron was maybe denouncing the spirit and the workings of the... He was not doing that. He was just trying to show that that man is trying to put a definition of what the Trinity, what the Godhead is, or God, and trying to define it in human terms. And that we need to be careful when we start doing that. I think that was the whole message that he was trying to bring out with that.
Could everybody hear him?
No.
No, so I have to try to repeat that. He said there was some concern over the Trinity discussion and some people wondering about, you know, during Ron's discussion of that, as to about how that worked, and that's a poor representation of what you just said.
We
phrase it real quickly here.
There was some discussion about the night that we were talking about the Trinity. There's some concern that Ron was denouncing the Spirit and how he worked within. I'm going to use the Godhead for lack of a better term. But that's not what he was trying to do. He was trying to show that man is trying to figure out what God is and put him in this box, and we need to be careful when we do that.
Very well put. And what do you say?
Well, Ron was trying to differentiate between the person of the Spirit and the personality of the Spirit, and I'm still not quite sure I understood all of what he's trying to say with that. He also made the comment several times during class that he didn't believe in the Trinity, and I asked him about that. And his problem with the Trinity is not a belief that there is a God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but rather the way it is defined by originally the Catholic Church and how it has been handed down through the denominations. And I understand that. However, I'm not quite sure if they're wrong. I'm really not.
There's another class coming near you to discuss that same topic. Ron has brought that to my attention. He's thinking about another class. And I've read some books since then, trying to get my hold on how I view it, because there was some challenging going on. But, you know, that's okay. When you're talking about the Holy Spirit, you're talking about some challenging thoughts and ideas. We'll end up coming to a full class on that, I think.
Again. I'm actually going someplace else.
Yeah, go ahead.
Actually, you know, I find it interesting that all of us recognize that the Bible was written through the Spirit, through individuals. But sometimes we still attest what's written to the author of a certain book, like Peter says, or John says.
I'm guilty of saying that all the time.
I've been reading through my personal studies through the book of Hebrews. I just started, and a lot of the Hebrews, whoever the author is, and that's one of the books that we don't know clearly, but it quotes a lot from the Psalms. And in chapter 3, it specifically gives... it gives the person responsible for one of those Psalms by saying, so the Holy Spirit says. And yet when we look at Psalms, we look at, well, who is the author of this Psalm, that Psalm? And actually, according to the book of Hebrews, it was the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
And I found that interesting as I came across that the identity of who's speaking is God.
It's God who's speaking.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, and I assume that everybody understands that while I'm preaching when I said Peter says it. And I get a little bit get a kick out of what God chose to have Peter write, because I think Peter got something out of that too, kind of in the side moment. But it's God speaking. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It's inspired by God. It's His words as if He breathed them. So I appreciate that comment.
You don't think that they interject some of their own thoughts into what they write?
No. No, I don't. Because God tells us that His Word is inspired by God. It's God breathed. Everything that comes is written in Scripture, I believe, comes from the mouth of God. That's what I believe. 2 Timothy 3:16, if I'm right on the verse.
Some people have challenged me with that. Well, it couldn't be God because there's a difference in technique and difference in writer's style. Well, man, God is kind of smart. He can probably figure out how to use my style and Peter's style. I'm not real worried about that.
Well, let me just add to the fact that it's the infallible Word of God, whether Peter put a V in or... Yeah, I'm with you. Brother Engel.
Dan, I am illiterate when it comes to the Trinity. Who am I to... I know that God works in my life. Did I say God? Am I talking about the Holy Spirit or Savior Jesus? Those three are one. And who am I to... try to tell somebody else what the difference is between them. Whatever it is that keeps me is one of those. And I always say God, but the Holy Spirit that He sent, He is the Holy Spirit, as He said. So. Is it necessary that we divide them?
Very good question.
And I don't know how we can do that when he says...
Is it necessary that we completely understand them?
No, I don't.
Or is it only necessary for us to understand what God tells?
Dan, if I think that I understand all that, I'm alarmed.
I'm in your club.
Okay.
If you're starting a club. Let's move on from the Trinity conversation. We will return to that, not in this class. No, I'm with you. I see exactly where you're headed. I have a few challenging questions for you today. Now first of all, I don't remember who said this or if we all said it or agreed to. I don't recall any of that. So lest something pop out my mouth here and you think, well, he's picking on me. I don't remember who said this, okay? Maybe it was me, I don't know. I think that I'm almost certain that it's been said that the Holy Spirit works only through the Word of God. Have you heard something like that in this class?
I don't hear it from this class, but I've heard it.
Well, we've certainly heard it other places in the class, but I think it's also been alluded to in this class. So I want to ask you a question. Does the Holy Spirit work outside of the written Word of God?
Does Peter go?
Anyone you want to answer is all right with me. Did he, does he, will he?
I can tell you what I believe.
That's all right.
I don't know if I can back it all up with Scripture.
Okay, well, lay it on us.
Well, I believe he has. There are those that we can find in the Bible that were affected by God that were not in the chosen people. For example, Cornelius. And pretty sure when they talk about God affecting him, it was some stretch of God, and I'm betting it was the Holy Spirit. As for today, I think an honest, searching, open heart is going to be led by God to where he needs to be. A person who has not got an honest, open, searching heart, God will let wander.
Oh, we are going to come back to that in just a minute. We're going to leave off the tail end of your conversation and come back to that in pretty good...
Whoopee.
Yeah. So, when you talk about if the Holy Spirit worked, why would why would any of us want to say that the only way the Holy Spirit works is through the written Word of God? What would there be any motive behind it? Well, first of all, is there any scripture that substantiates that? Is there any scripture that says that?
I don't think so.
The problem with this word "only," yeah, by the way, you got to circle the word "only." Did you have your hand up?
Or? No, I'm halfway, because I don't know I have.
Well, that's okay.
All we know about God or the Spirit or anything that is through the Word. I mean, that's He gave it to us. He gave it to us for that. So all we know comes from that. Now, how He works. All I know about how He works, I have to find it in here.
Yes.
So, I guess I would hate to.
You're
standing back telling the Holy Spirit, you have to work a certain way, because I think He'll probably work out where He wants to.
Amen.
He doesn't have to ask me about it, but when I know what I know about it, I find it in here.
Absolutely. He says, what we know about the Holy Spirit, we find in the Scripture. Very important. We're going to have pieces of the puzzle, and by the end of this class, I hope that you just go, that's what I'm shooting for, to some degree. Okay, I saw hands. Okay, here and then here.
While we know the Holy Spirit through the Word, I think as we go through life, we need to have our blinders off and be looking for ways that the Spirit is working in our lives, because I think He works through events that happen to us, people that He puts in our lives. They're not always good things. Sometimes they're bad things. But I grew up thinking, oh, what a coincidence. I don't believe in coincidence anymore. I believe in the Holy Spirit.
And I'm going to come back to that here in just a minute. Thank you for that comment.
To go along with what Glenn was saying, the other flip side of that is, during the time that Jesus walked the earth, they had more, well, they didn't even have the Word in its complete fullness at that point anyway, but they had the proof of other people. They didn't just have the Word. They had the proof of Jesus' miracles that then survived the ask, yes, the people passed it down, the information that happened to them. So they had eyewitness accounts. It wasn't just Word. It was
worthwhile,
but it was still eyewitness.
Absolutely. Okay, now I'm going to throw out a statement in regard to what we're talking about here. Could it be... Well, that's a question. That's even better. It takes me off the hot spot, doesn't it? Could it be that we want to limit... Now I'm kind of getting what you thought. Couldn't it be that we want to limit the working of the Holy Spirit to our understanding?
Sure.
Now, does the Holy Spirit work outside of the written Word of God? Go to Genesis chapter 1, and he was there at the beginning. And now, if we put the Spirit in a box here and say you could... Oh, that's a really weird way to put that, isn't it? But if we put the Spirit in a box and we limit Him, then that means He can only work toward our understanding, because we are opposed to doing anything according to our feeling, right? I know that's got mentioned here in the last several weeks. We certainly don't want to make judgments about truth according to our feeling, right? That's for sure. But does the Holy Spirit work in our feelings? If you're going to say no, you're going to have a real problem there. But we collectively, sometimes as a brotherhood, we'll stay clear of that, because we can't explain that. We don't know about it. Welcome to the Holy Spirit study. God gives us what He wants us to know, and He asks us to give Him His heart so He can work through us. Now, I'm going to move on to a couple questions, and what we just talked about is going to be solidified even more through some of the following questions, I think. That was one question. We're going to make it. I got 20 or 30 just like that. Somebody turn to John 16, verse 7 and read that. And someone move along to Acts. Okay, who's doing John 16, 17? Just raise your hand real fast. Right back here, Brenda. I was sort of calling you Renee for some reason, Brenda. And Brother Sam, Acts 2, 37. Blake, John 16, verse 13. That ought to get it for now. And John 16, verse 7, go ahead.
But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you.
That's not what I was looking for.
Well, go to verse 8, because I want to have a discussion about verse 8. Read verse 8.
When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to...
Oh, that's where I was going. Oh, there you go. Read verse 8 again. That's where I was going.
When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment.
Now, wait a minute. How do you convict someone?
Evidence.
Huh?
With evidence.
With evidence? Okay. So...
In Jerusalem, they were convicted or they were cut to the heart.
Oh, Acts 2:37. These people heard the truth. So the Holy Spirit operates within the Word of God, the truth, obviously. But what is it that helps them get the level, the conviction? What is conviction? Someone say it. Put it in a word form.
Belief.
More than belief.
Understanding.
The understanding. Belief. Convinced.
If I am in a trial and I am convicted, I am going to jail.
Okay, judgment. I'm not sure that's where I was headed. Let me stew on that for a bit. But conviction is that deep something within you that moves you to action, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if you're convicted, you will not change. Well, I mean, you know what I mean? If you're convicted that God is real and true, I don't think anything can really ever take that away from you. You maybe
came out of the kitchen. I think I know how to put the two together. If I'm convicted, I'm going to jail. That means I am absolutely, without doubt, doing this thing, whether I want to or not. If I'm convicted of Christ, I am absolutely, there is no doubt, this is it.
You're cut to the heart. You're going to do whatever it takes to get it right.
That's right. That's it. I'm locked into it.
The Holy Spirit, the text says, is the convicting agent. Well, I can't explain that. I can explain that when the word was preached, that the truth was put before them, but it's another thing to say that they had conviction about it.
Maybe I'm the only person in here, but I've been in those shoes where something is presented to me in my mind, and I spend all day wrestling with this thing.
No, you're not.
Knowing where I need to change my life and being convicted of it. And that's part of that, what we were talking about last Sunday, is denying yourself, because you're over here trying to hold on to what you want to hold, and the Spirit's trying to convict you in a different way. And you have that struggle. I have that struggle.
The Holy Spirit's over there peeling your fingers off one at a time.
We, as a brotherhood, have spent a lot of time preaching and teaching that our relationship with God is more than a feeling, because there's a segment of the world that is playing just toward people's feelings, void of truth. Okay? So what we want is truth plus feeling. Didn't God create both of them?
Yes.
Don't they work together? But we can't deny our feelings. And that God works through those. Now, Satan can work through those too. He can cause us to feel good about doing wrong. So we have to be careful about that. But we don't want to just put it over here and say, going to do nothing on feeling. Going to be the letter of the law. The Holy Spirit works through that, and I can't fully explain that.
Well, that's the Pharisees. They went law, and that's what got them in trouble.
Thank you. hold that for the sermon here in a little bit.
That's okay. Yeah, we're really good.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
And you know what? That's just kind of where we was headed next. When the Holy Spirit fills you, He guides you also. Now, okay, so we're back to our same discussion. Well, He's going to guide us only insofar as the written word is concerned. Let me, I am not downplaying the written word. Does everybody connect with that? But He also gives us some guidance in some other areas. You know how if I was going to throw this water bottle at Ward and hit him, man, I start hurting in my heart because I know that's wrong. I know that would hurt. I know that'd be ugly. So I've got these feelings. And am I going to say that God doesn't work through that? God does work through our feelings, and we need to pay attention to Him, but we also need to calculate whether those feelings are from Him. But not in regard to changing the truth. We're on the same page. Question?
I don't know whether you're getting to this or not, but just what we're talking about, is the Holy Spirit working through people before they're saved?
Well, did He work through the people before they were baptized in Acts chapter 2, verse 37? If you think that He convicted them, which is what the Scripture says, then you would think that... And did He work through Cornelius before Cornelius was saved? Yeah. Did He work through them unto salvation before they were saved? I think He was leading them too.
It is the Holy Spirit that... does the transformation. It's not the person.
We can get in over our head real quick, can't we? Let me ask some more difficult... Oh, no, go ahead, brother.
Well, I just want to say that the place where people have and where we've been afraid of is the runaway emotional evangelical Pentecostal type thing that whatever you feel is okay.
That's just as opposite extreme and dangerous.
It's really dangerous because then the game's over.
Your feelings without the Word of God mean nothing. They go together. Okay? Let me ask you a few more tough questions. Colleen, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if our feelings contradict the Word, that's where we should go
along. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Our feelings never supersede the Word, ever. Correct. Thank you. Let me. I'm going to throw out a few more questions that are going to just take us, stretch us in every direction. Let's try some of these. What time's class over?
It's 7. The shoot's good there.
I don't know. Clue.
We're looking at some.
It's 10.
Huh? Okay. Oh. Oh, yeah. Good thing it didn't slap me in the head. I didn't put that on there. I also didn't ever read it. I'll work on that. But Peter, this is Acts chapter 5, verse 3. You remember Ananias and Sapphira and how they lied to the Holy Spirit, you know, about their property, about how much they had given in regard to that. So, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? I read that and I thought that Ananias lied to the people. But the text says he lied to the Spirit. Somebody have a comment on that? How did he lie to the Spirit?
Because he lied, period. But when you lie, you lie.
Oh, that's an interesting thought.
Maybe that's who it is. God knows when you lie.
You're saying anytime you lie, you're lying to the Spirit?
Yeah.
Wow, that's awful deep. Might just been where I was at.
Well, I would say if he was lying to the people, he might have gotten away with it. One. the Spirit is what I'm saying. Let them know that he was lying.
The Holy Spirit certainly set it straight, didn't he?
The Spirit knows our heart and our mind.
Oh, absolutely. And the Word of God and how they work in conjunction.
But it says that Peter was speaking, and we know that by this time Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, so that he and the Spirit had a very close relationship. He would know their hearts, their thoughts, through the Spirit.
Peter would. Yeah, but when Ananias lied, said that he lied to the Spirit.
Right.
So do you think, so going back to Carol's, is it possible for us to lie to the Holy Spirit?
Well, I mean, yeah, he can lie, but he knows it.
Everybody go like this. That was my question, and if someone has a comment on that, feel free before I move to the next question. Go ahead, brother. We're all rolled out.
It talks about making vows to God. You know, there are people individually give themselves to the Lord, and you have these conversations through your mind with God. You say, I'm going to do this and that. And if you don't do that, wouldn't that be lying to the Holy Spirit? You make a vow to God that you're going to do this, whatever it is, and then you don't. What about the two sons? God's the master. The father said, "Son, I want you to go do this thing." And he says, "Yeah, no problem. I'll go do it." And then he doesn't. And the other son, he says, "I want you to go do this thing." He says, "No, I'm not going to do that thing." But then he felt sorry about what he said, and he went and did it anyway. Which one did the father's will? And does that relate to lying to the Holy Spirit? Yeah, I'm going to do this thing, but I'm really not going to.
We're talking about a horizontal relationship and a vertical relationship. A relationship between me and you as a brother, and somehow that's tied to my relationship with God also. If I lie to you, ultimately my vow is to be truthful according to my God. I've made that agreement with Him. I've come in the covenant with Him. So if I lie to you, I'm breaking my covenant with Him.
The most common vows that men and women make are their wedding vows. And they're exactly the same. We break the wedding vows, we rely on the Holy Spirit.
And God is the creator of man. And God is the creator of relationships.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So the minute you lie, whether you think you're going to just tell a lie to whoever, respecting your relationship with God, everything we do and say and think,
absolutely. And that is the level of understanding He wants us to get to. Well, some people not there. They haven't attained that yet. Evel?
So what about conscience and Holy Spirit?
Conscience and Holy Spirit. We're getting there in a minute. Hold that question. Carolyn.
I was just thinking in relationship to the creation. And we talk about this among ourselves a lot. Everything belongs to God. Everything. Even the worst evil person in the prison somewhere for what they've done. He's God's creation. And that's why I think it behooves us to honor every segment of God's creation. So when we dishonor that, we're not only dishonoring to the person, but to God.
To God.
Because God loves that person.
I'm sitting here trying to calculate how I'm going to get done with this, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to spill out my questions and rapid fire, just bing, 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 over the course of maybe a couple minutes, then we're going to come back and try to go through them slowly, so maybe you'll have a scope of the entire picture in case we run out of time, okay? I put here that the Holy Spirit is a mark of godly men. Acts 6 and verse 3, therefore, brethren, select from you, among you, 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to talk about that. Acts 7 and verse 51, the mark of ungodly people are those who resist the Holy Spirit. Acts 8 and 29, this is just Dan's words. I put he's the director of evangelism. He told Philip to go meet the eunuch on the way and how he directs our heart and according to evangelism. Also, I was going to talk about... I can't read my writing. Talking about Cornelius, the Holy Spirit created and acted upon the situation to lead God's people in the way of truth, and how he, the Holy Spirit, may act in relationship to leading his church. Acts 20 and verse 28, that the overseers were appointed according to the Holy Spirit, or by the Holy Spirit. And how does that happen? And then Barnabas and Paul and Barnabas, when they went out on their missionary journey trip, how the Holy Spirit sent them out. He was the sender. And then how Paul was stopped by the Holy Spirit from going into Asia to do some work there. There's the verse I was looking for. Oh, and then how does he intercede for us in our prayers with deep words that are groanings that words can't understand? Then joy in the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God." Know, gnosis, understand. And do you not know that you are a temple of God, that the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, "Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the name, in the Spirit of our God." So what's the Spirit's link to justification? "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were made to drink of one Spirit." By one Spirit we were baptized. Okay. I read the questions to you, kind of where I was going with that, so let's back up to Acts 6 and verse 3. "In the appointing of the men to go out and serve people and to wait on tables, they were to select men of good reputation, men that were full of the Spirit." And how do you get full of the Spirit? How are we instructed through the New Testament to receive the Holy Spirit? At baptism. Yep, through His Word, at baptism. And he says here that these men were supposed to be full of Spirit. I put hang out. There's a term on the TV. Hope it's not offensive. Gang bangers. Have you ever heard of that? If you hang out with a bunch of gang members, your life is probably going to reflect that. You know? But if you hang out with God, with His Word, and with His Spirit dwelling in you, your life is going to reflect that. And those fruits of the Spirit, we always look to Dave because he can sing that song. You're never going to get past that. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, etc., etc.
I have a question.
Okay.
It's really my mind.
Okay.
I keep saying earlier how the Holy Spirit directed the people in Acts. Okay, I was talking just directed them, because we're told that the Holy Spirit, we don't receive that Holy Spirit during baptism. So, what are we saying? We do receive it before, or we're just directed to do
Can the Holy Spirit direct a person that he's not in?
I don't mean to be picky on words, but it doesn't say we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit or we receive the Holy Spirit.
We receive the gift of the Spirit. And in essence, through the rest of the Word, we understand that is the indwelling. Yeah.
I'm not trying to be argumentative.
No. I'm not. But now I'm with you. So see, we're back to only understanding it where we can understand it. God has worked in people's lives through the Holy Spirit before they became Christians. He has done that.
I know, see, that gets really, you get into these people that believe that they listen to this prayer and they're saved.
But that doesn't mean they're saved, right?
Well, they're going to tell you what you just said, that you are.
If an unsaved person starts studying God's Word and he or she is convicted, that happens as a result of the Holy Spirit. The text tells us that. They're not saved yet. He's prompting them and leading them toward a direction of godliness, but it hasn't happened yet. So, is it unto salvation? Only if the person chooses and responds to it. Right? Is that the illusion? I see a couple of people going, that's a good sign. Here's your sign.
Well, I think that is my question, but that's my when they are really baptized.
That's a good question. Brother Engel wants to answer that.
which Brother Engel?
We'll take either one. Yeah. So let's go to the next question. I don't know. I'm not sure. Well, I'm not sure. I'm not. You know what? Let me just say, I don't know. She gets down to the level of act, you know, about conscience. Will God lead you through your conscience? And to that, I cannot say no. He leads us through His Word. We understand that. But if we're going to say only through His Word and forget conscience, I'm going to say, I don't think so. Because conscience includes conviction, and the Holy Spirit does work through our conviction, according to the text. So to what level does He? I don't know. But let me just put it this way. We must be very careful lest we turn into the emotional, oh, this is just how I feel about it, and step away from God's Word. Because anything detached from God's Word is wrong.
I have been involved in Bible studies where people said, well, I know I'm saved because the Holy Spirit told me so. I said, look at Cornelius. He told Cornelius that he had something coming, and he sent a man to him. I said, how do you know I'm not the man sent to you? You need to listen, not to your heart, but to your Word, God's Word. And that's the only place you can listen.
That's right.
Some listened, some didn't.
Absolutely. Travis?
Perhaps it would help if we thought of the conscience as kind of sitting at the intersection of your spirit and your mind. The scriptures talk about the conscience being a witness, convicting a person's actions one way or another. Also talks about a conscience that can be seared and twisted. So there is an element of it that is subject to the human mind. However, there is within us something that God has placed there. And you know, even in moral philosophy, you know, independence of belief in God, even the world has recognized and has had people as far as two or three centuries ago who said, I can't explain how people just know, how they just have a sense of right and wrong, but they do. Well, if we understand what the scripture says about conscience and blood, the line between the spirit that God has given us, the Holy Spirit that moves and convicts, the force, the channels that come, you know, from evil, and then what goes on in our active mind, those lines and distinctions aren't that clear. And they're not necessarily very, very strong lines where you move an inch over and all of a sudden you move from complete human will to complete move by the Spirit. But if you think of the conscience as an internal character that connects the mind and the spirit, might help us
a
little bit.
I like that thought too. Okay, 20 after, I'm watching that clock. Next question. Acts 7, verse 51. You men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears are always resisting the Holy Spirit. My question I want to ask you is, how do we... Okay, can we resist the Holy Spirit? And if so, some general discussion maybe about how that's done. Has anyone in here ever resisted the Holy Spirit? Ooh, we got lots of hands coming up there. Okay, well, one of you folks that raised your hand, tell us what you mean. We lost all of our volunteers. What happened?
I've got more guts than brains some days.
Me too.
The problem is, when I know what I ought to do, and I know what I want to do, and that's the battle that happens every day, all day long. And no matter who's going to say it, that's the one we fight, and we all know we fight, and we all know we fight it all the time. And the days that I want instead of what God wants, that's the days when I've resisted the Holy Spirit. And I hate myself when I do that, and I find myself doing it. And the thing that I fear is, if I get used to it, yeah, I've ended up searing my conscience. And then I'll know what's wrong, but I don't feel bad about it.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Well, it sounds like there's a spiritual battle going on within us. And it's between the spirit
and the flesh.
The flesh. And also between the heavenly realms and the demonic realms. And so...
Absolutely.
There's always a battle between doing what we should do and what we want to do.
Absolutely. And Glenn?
Resist the Holy Spirit when I do not do what God tells me in His Word to do. And I resist the Holy Spirit when I don't even try to find out from His Word what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I like that. Evelyn?
That God is the God of justice.
Yes.
He also tells us to have justice with men, we have relationship with people. So these two things are kind of conflict in my mind. Where justice comes from, where when bring this?
Me too. She sees a conflict in her mind of where God's justice meets grace and mercy. Wow, wouldn't that be it? Well, I'd like to hear a sermon from Jesus on that, wouldn't you? I just want you to think a little bit about resisting the Holy Spirit. Then, I just put the director of evangelism when Philip was told to go meet the Ethiopian eunuch. How many people in here believes that the Holy Spirit would prompt our heart in regard to evangelism? How many times have you been walking along and you meet someone and for some reason you think, I need to talk to them about that. Have you ever had that feeling? Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. You know, if just in reality, it ought to be all the time. But you know, you're walking downtown and here's a bunch of guys over here with baseball bats beating up on cars. That's not my first thought to go share the gospel with them, you know. That's wrong on my part. They need that. But then I meet this guy that comes by the church building to ask for a little bit of money for food, and I just really like the guy, and I sense an honest sincerity about him, and I'm thinking, ooh, that's some fertile soil to plant the seed in. I'm making judgments about that. Do I believe that the Spirit of God prompts me in those things? I personally do. Are we attuned to that? If you believe that, are you attuned to that and constantly working on it? Carol.
Well, quite a few here know about my father and when he was baptized. I was standing here, and I lived with him all my life. My mother had talked to him, all our family had talked to him, and everything. And, you know, at that point, But that Sunday night, I literally could not, we were singing a song, and I could not sit here. I mean, I don't know. To me, it was the Holy Spirit telling me, you have got to go talk to him. I literally could not stay in my seat. I got up and went over and talked to him. Came back and was baptized.
Daryl, what was his name? Wasn't it Daryl?
Raymond.
Right, Raymond. Yeah. Somebody else? We're like 1 minute.
Yeah, but that fits so well because the scriptures tell us not to cast pearls before swine.
Yes, it does.
And God doesn't want us spinning our wheels where it isn't going to be accepted.
That's a hard one. And making that determination, I feel guilty sometimes trying to make that determination. Do you ever feel that?
You don't need to read them on the other
bottle.
You just need to
plant the seed. Oh, yeah, yeah. And you know what? Sometimes we want to cultivate water and force the seed up out of the ground. You ever get guilty of that? Okay, we're piling up outside. Lots of more good. Hey, I hope that this has spurred your thinking. I think that some of these things are not meant to define the Holy Spirit, maybe as much as to begin with, to show us some actions of the Holy Spirit. Maybe those will encompass to help us understand His working in our lives. Thanks for coming.